أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. For the return of our imam, please recite the salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين ونمكن لهم في الأرض ونري فرعون وهامان وجنودهما منهم ما كانوا يحذرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on numerous occasions and different verses including this one has given us what we call a sunan al-ilahiyya. He explains to us how he governs this universe. If we want to understand the laws of this universe, some of the laws which are emphasized on and people are trying to figure out include the laws of physics. Okay. Well, the laws of physics are good to know, but there's more important laws about how this universe works. And the reason why a lot of the calculations and people mistake about the decisions they make is that they don't know how this universe works. These principles are mentioned in the Holy Quran. One of those principles is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ وَنُمَكِّنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We have promised, وَنُرِيدُ, this irada that's mentioned here, this will of Allah is what they technically term as irada al-takwiniyya. It's not something like the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us, that He wants us to pray. When He wants us to pray, alright, that's an order for us to pray. That means we can either choose to pray or we can choose not to pray. But when here he says Nuridu, that means I will do that. It's God's doing. That's how the universe has formed. This is the law by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to govern the universe. Alladhina istud'ifu, those who are mustad'afin on the face of the earth. The verse is talking about the Jews, the Israelites as they call them in Egypt. But it's a general law. In other verses, the same principle has been mentioned as a general law. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. This verse, in the ahadith when we look, has been interpreted as one of the misdaqs of it, one of the examples of it, and the probably, not probably, most definitely, the best example for it, the base case in which it's going to realize and materialize, is the case of the movement of the 12th Imam, Hajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Alhamdulillah, we benefited from Shaykh Ali We benefited from his lecture, alhamdulillah, and I don't want to tire you and bore you with my talk. Inshallah, we've taken what is necessary from here. I just wanted to say a few points and bring the session, inshallah, to an end. What I want to say tonight is, brothers, there was a time that the scholars and the activists used to sit down and discuss what they need to do and talk about their activities. You read the works of the likes of Shahid Mutahhari in Iran. You read the works of activists inside Iraq. You read Jawad Mughniyah's books. You read some of the other activists in other parts of the Muslim Ummah, whether Shia or Sunni. When you look at the environment in which they are speaking and they are discussing what needs to be done, the circumstances that they were living under, the oppression and the oppressive governments that they were living under, compared to what we have today, okay, there's a big difference. See, Shahid Mutahhari is living inside a country by the name of Iran, which we have no idea. None of us have lived there before the revolution. Many of you may have not even visited it after the revolution. Well, I've lived there and I can tell you how it is right now after the revolution. And for those who've visited there, they can see what it's like after the revolution. But we have no idea how it was before the revolution. Okay. You see, the political situation in the Middle East right now, there's a country by the name of Saudi Arabia, and you have a country called Egypt, and you have a country called Jordan, in which the United States and the Western powers are controlling the Middle East through these countries. Okay, well, this is post-revolution. Prior to the revolution, the country in which they governed the Middle East region was Iran. Okay, Shahid Mutahhari, Shahid Beheshti, okay, other activists, Nawab Safawi, Imam Khomeini, Shahid Mudarris, Shahid or Ayatollah Kashani, all these people were talking about activity and what needs to be done and our responsibility in that environment. They could barely breathe, brothers. You're talking about where America is as a superpower after the Second World War, okay, this is where he is, or they are influencing the whole region. Do you think they're going to let it go easy? Do you think they're going to allow their influence on the whole region go that easily? There was a short recording, you know, it's amazing when you see these little bits and pieces of information to try to picture and put the puzzle together how it was. Because there's a difference between reading about a situation that existed in the past and actually feeling it. Okay, when you put those little bits and pieces of the puzzle together, you start feeling how it was like. Okay, there's a little recording I got from I don't want to call him the late Imam, but Imam Musa Sadr, inshallah, he is alive, and inshallah, we will be seeing him sometime soon. It was a recording in Lebanon. You know, he was an activist in Lebanon. Okay, I forgot to mention him, his name, one of the top activists that we had, which caused a movement inside Lebanon that they had to do something about it, and unfortunately, they were able to do, and they kidnapped him. It was a recording that he's talking about the situation in Lebanon, what they're trying to do, all right, and who is blocking them, who is stopping them, who is the obstacle in all their plans and their programs to reach the success they're looking for. And every time in those lectures, it's a series, you know, different occasions, every time he points, we wanted to plan this, the Iranian ambassador in Beirut talked to his guys and they didn't let it happen. We wanted to do this. The Iranian ambassador, very similar to what the role that the Egyptians are playing right now and the Saudis are playing right now and those in Jordan are playing right now. At that time, it was only one country that was doing this. That's the power and influence that America had on that country. Whatever they wanted to implement in the Middle East, I just want to picture to you how important that country was for the West, for the United States, okay, to know how much pressure they're going to be putting on any type of opposition. In those circumstances, these people were active. Very, very active. Read on your own what these people did. What I want to say tonight is, if at those times anyone had any excuse or was difficult to actually speak out and to be active, these days we don't have any type of excuse. Now is the time that everyone should talk and speak up and do something. There was a time that post-Islamic revolution in Iran, there was a time that the only ones that were speaking about Islam and change in the world was only an old man sitting in his seat in northern Tehran, and that was Imam Khomeini, and his messages circling around in the world. I've spoken to people, some of you are much older than me, maybe you've experienced it yourself. The brother was saying that when he moved to the UK, to London, okay, the only female that he knew was wearing hijab was his wife. I know the family, they're a very religious family. He said there were Muslims, but no one would speak about their Islam. No one would be openly practicing Islam. When people would come to the West, they would feel afraid to express. My father lived in the United States before the revolution. A very similar situation they had there. You had Muslims there, but no one would talk about Islam, especially publicly. Maybe, you know, get together in your little circles and talk about Islam, but no one would be talking publicly about Islam. A lot of these people didn't even know what Islam was. Okay, now it's a daily talk on the news. Everyone is talking about Islam. Okay, now we are the ones that are winning. This is my point. Okay, the main focus of my point right now, to get to what we are supposed to do. Okay, it's a lot easier to do anything right now. The ball is on our side, okay? They've tried whatever they could have, and now, well, the Shaykh explained how they've lost. I want to say how we've gained, okay? Now Islam is the superpower, okay? It's becoming the superpower. They're painting the picture in the media that it's not, but if you look between the lines, you'll realize that that's what's happening. Okay, they're struggling with their Muslim populations inside their countries. They cannot control what is going in the Middle East. They plan for something, their plans go down the drain. They keep trying and keep doing it, but every single move they've made, the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come true. You do what you want, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. You do, they do it the way they're planning. And they plan it very, very nice and neat. We talk about organization. Okay, they're the masters of organization. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Zionists. They're the best of organizers. They can organize things even better than... I want to make a joke, better than Khojas can. Okay, they can organize things a lot better. All right? They plan. But every single plan that they have made has turned to be the exact opposite. Alright. The exact opposite. They plan to destroy Hezbollah. They actually boosted Hezbollah where they would have never ever imagined. Okay. They plan to destroy Hamas. They boosted Hamas to where they would have never ever imagined or wanted. Okay, this is the law that they didn't consider. They made some very good calculations based on their information, but they were missing this little piece of information that was actually originally talking about them when they were being oppressed in Egypt. Okay, so this is the time for us to speak out. We don't have any excuse. If back in the old days, okay, in Arabia, right now, you talk to, I mean, anywhere in the world, just remember, anywhere in the world you look, things have changed. Okay, things have changed. There was a time in Saudi, the Shias could not hold programs in their houses for Imam al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. Okay, now in Qatif they have got processions on the streets. Okay, they think, again, they're planning it the way they want it. Abdullah is saying, King Abdullah is saying that we're doing this, and, well, we're going to be more liberal, okay? Let's bring in, you know, be a little more liberal, we can control things. In the name of that, they're trying to play the game that the West has, okay? Well, they're playing it for their own benefit. What the effect that it has is that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is carrying out His plans. Today is the day for us to speak out. We've got to do whatever we can. Everyone has got their own way of helping the cause. There is no one particular way or one particular thing that we need to do. Okay, let's all start a magazine, or let's produce this, or let's produce that. There's billions of things could be done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single one of us a talent to do what we can, and we need to use that field that we're in. Now, this was all the introduction, and I'm sorry it took a little too long, but we're all, alhamdulillah, some of us are doing, or inshallah, all of us are doing a certain level of activities, Islamic activities here in the UK. And let me tell you that every single community I go to, whether it's in the UK, or the US, or Canada, these are the countries that I visited, okay, there are youth just like yourselves that are full of energy, that want to do something, and this is part of the plan that I said. These are all signs that it seems like we are getting close to the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the main movement is going to be occurring. Okay. Now we gotta do what we can do. Each and every single one of us has got to do our share. Nothing is an excuse. Now what I wanna say tonight in this regard is, it doesn't make a difference what you do. We need to listen to a verse in the Holy Quran on the activities that we have. How many of us are here? If each and every one of us does something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this direction to have some sort of activity, if all this is put together, the power of all these people put together is going to have much, much more an impact than one single individual would have. Okay. Now, my suggestion is not that, as the Shaykh said, to make an organization or anything. My point is this. We don't listen to the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. When we want to do and get and engage in activities, there's something that always keeps us from going and getting where we could reach. Okay. We cancel out one another. I'm having an activity here in this university. Someone else says, okay, let's do this. And then we get into a conflict and then we split. Okay. And then we start working against one another, and instead of helping the cause, we ended up slowing everything down. There's this youth organization, and that youth organization, and 50 other youth organizations, and this university organization, and that other society, and this society, and they're all working against one another. Instead, you know, the English really, really, really know how to divide and conquer. Okay. I have not seen a city in my life that is as diverse as London, and you have extremes, okay, exact opposites living in the same city, and they cancel one another out. Okay, you have extreme Shias that would kill Sunnis, and you have people that talk about unity between Shia and Sunni such that they're almost Sunni themselves. Okay, and they cancel one another out. Between the Shia and Sunni, you have the same thing. You have these, you know, as I said, the Shias that want to kill the Sunnis, then you have the Sunnis that want to kill the Sunnis. The Shias, sorry. So, there you go. That's canceled out too. You talk about revolution, okay, there's people that are 100% pro-revolution and pro-Imam Khomeini and all of that, and you got people that are 100% opposite to that, living in the same city, and cancel everyone out, okay. Instead of doing and moving forward, we're just struggling with one another to try to see what we should do. And the 12th Imam is going to come, like, what are you guys doing? You think he's going to be coming, like, if we don't fix ourselves up, and we really haven't prepared that platform. There's a lot of numbers, but if we can't unite, then... وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Now you probably have already heard this. So what's the purpose of me saying it? Just say it again and again, let's unite. Oh, no, I want to say a couple of things regarding that. How do we reach unity? How are we going to have this وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا? Practically speaking. One aspect of it that I want to focus on, that I see a big problem in it, in activities within youth groups, is this. The activity becomes the goal. A big problem is that the activity becomes the goal. We get together, we want to move in the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a difference on a social level for our Shia brothers and sisters, for the non-Muslims to do da'wah and all of that, but then the organization that we form becomes itself the goal. Let's keep this. No, we want this to be the way it is. We don't want to change. Let's join this other group. Well, we're all on the same page, then why don't we just... No, we want to keep our... Let's do this. No, they've already done it. Or let's... Well, we can do it better. The competition, the incorrect and un-Islamic competitions that exist. It's all because the activity has become the goal. Whereas the activity, that organization, the youth group, the associate, none of that is the goal, brothers. That is the means to get to the goal. What is the goal? This is important. The verse we always that I recited, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. We always emphasize about وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Unite, لا تَفَرَّقُوا. Well, look at what the verse, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The only way you can have وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا is... The only way you can have unity is اعتصموا بحبل الله. We start with sincere intentions to make a move for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we get so involved with that activity, we forget this was supposed to be لله. It becomes for me. Becomes my ego. That activity becomes my ego. Everything, all the other activities, this is a problem, okay, a serious problem I see. Some of the very active, very good youth, you know, they're so active, they're into, like, in university, they're setting up this activity in the center, let's call in speakers, all this and that. But then, you know, I'm expecting so much, I go with the brother and I'm spending some time, salat time comes in, he's not even worried about the time of salat. He's on the phone talking to someone about a program tonight or next week or something. It's not a problem anymore. We're doing activity. It's okay. Brothers, sisters, we're all brothers. Okay, let's chit-chat. Hey, let's do something together. Brothers and sisters having an interaction that's not supposed to be there. Okay, are you doing this for Allah or are you doing it for yourself? We lose that point. We lose ourselves. We forget why we did that. Maybe we didn't even get the goal right at the beginning. Brothers, one point we need to keep in mind is we're not doing this activity for others. I'm not doing this activity to help others. I'm doing this activity because it's my responsibility. I'm going to have to answer for it on the Day of Judgment. This is what Imam Khomeini taught us. Based on Islam, but in the recent history, the man that taught us this in action was Imam Khomeini. He said on the way from Paris to Iran, they said they may shoot your plane down. I said, if they do, they do. I'm just doing my responsibility. I don't care if it comes to it, the conclusion that I think it will. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to make a big event, have 200,000 people gathered around here. I'm here to do my taklif, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wanted from me. If that is your goal, and you keep that as your goal, you're always victorious, whether you have 200,000 people around you or 5 people around you. And based on this verse, if you do that, God will bring the 200,000 people at the right time. Okay? Don't forget, this activity is because it's your responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't forget that. You know how you can keep from forgetting that? Don't give this activity of yours priority over your personal responsibilities. If something is haram, it's haram. I can't say, well, to bring these people, we got to do that. No, who cares? Let them not come. It's haram. Let's delay a prayer. No, don't delay a prayer. We're not here for the crowd. We're here for Islam. The crowd wants to come, and they will come. They will come. If they don't want to come, I don't care. I'm not here for that result. I'm here to do my taklif. Do your personal responsibilities. Make sure you get them done. Don't get this, or don't let this become a priority in this way that I'm not so worried about my prayers anymore. I'm not so worried about my interaction with women. I'm not doing my extra a'mal. I need to put in this. Now, it may sound like I'm giving an akhlaq lecture. I'm no one to give any type of akhlaq lecture. But this is a serious issue, okay? There's a verse in the Holy Quran. The verses of Surah, I believe it's Surah Muzammil. Okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes to the Holy Prophet about the night prayers, and that he needs to spend extra time up. You know when these verses were revealed? They say they were revealed when the Prophet moved to Medina and he had to set up a government. He had more social responsibility. Before then, he had the responsibilities. Obviously, he was the Prophet, but government is a lot more responsibility, practically speaking. More time is taken and all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now that you're involved with people more, you got to make your connection with me more as well. Okay. Don't forget about your own personal a'mal that you're supposed to do. Make sure the wajibat are down, the muharramat we're staying away from. And also, if I spiritually am not at the right or on the page that I'm supposed to be, then I can't make a change for others. Or if I do make a change, it's not going to be in the right direction. I may make a change. There's loads of people that are making all kinds of change, and a lot of it is in the name of Islam. But when you check it, and to compare that, and compare what we have from the Holy Prophet, completely different. You probably have heard all the deviant groups. You see them. There's loads of deviant groups in this city. I mean, subhanAllah, how many you can find in this city? Alright? Whether it's issues of belief, and their belief not matching, maybe only the belief in God, which I don't even know if that's completely there or not. Maybe that only matches with the Muslims. When you talk about imamah, their view is something. When you talk about this, when you talk about tawassul, it seems like, you know, they got this combination that doesn't match any sect or any school of thought within Islam at all. They're making change, but it's not in the right direction. It's in the wrong direction. If we forget ourselves, okay, that's when we forget. When we forget ourselves, that is when the goal becomes that activity, because that's become my ego. I want this to be I'm going to compare my masjid and my place and my program to the other masjid. Okay, they had 600 people, we got to have 700 people. Otherwise, it's not going to work. This event has got to be like this, or like, this is ego, brothers. This is nafs. This is because we've forgotten that the reason why I am doing this is not because I want these people there. If I want these people there, that's for myself, because I want to say, hey, I did a good job. I want to feel good inside. That's not what it's about. It's about, I got to do my takleef. I got to be able to sleep well at night thinking that, inshallah, God, if I did this right, it was your blessing. If I did it wrong, please forgive me. This is the approach we should have. So basically, this movement that we, whether we like it or not, we are part of this movement. Okay, the grounds are very ready. We've got more responsibility. But in order to do it right, we've got to remember that we're doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the intentions are there for doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everyone's going to be on the same page. Then we can unite. Then we can say, okay, this group is doing a good job. Let's see if they need any help on it. You call them up, they need any help. They're doing it for Allah. Yes, yes, we can use your help. Not that, no, we don't want you to be part of this. This is our game. Okay? Or, that's their thing. Let them deal with it. Who cares if they need some help? Okay? We're all doing it for Allah. Does it make a difference? If they don't need any help, alhamdulillah. Okay, we'll do what we can. We'll do some other activity. If they need our help, we'll join in. Let them put their name. I don't even want to ask to put the name of my institution or my organization at the bottom. This is this organization or that society as well. This is all ego, brothers and sisters. This is all nafs. Arguing whose name is going to be at the top, or this, or is my organization mentioned or not. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to reach that level of sincerity, that the a'mal, whether it's the personal a'mal that we have or the social a'mal that we have, are going to be only and purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. I can't give a talk, especially in Muharram, and not mention Imam al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. As you all know, after the day of Ashura, the family of the Imam in these days is either on the way to Sham or it's already arrived there. Imagine the women and the children, Hadrat Zainab salamullahi alayha, the children Sukayna, Ayya, the other children, with the ruthless men that has slaughtered so many innocent individuals, including a 6-month-old babe. These people were left 30,000 men with the family of the Imam. They were carried and they were moved to Kufa, and from there to Medina on camels that was not easy to travel on. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة. These days we are commemorating the Shahada of Imam al-Sajjad. You know that in his Shahada he was poisoned. Our dear Imam was poisoned by the Khalifa of the time. But I think that death, instead of being pain, was a relief for our Imam. The real pain that Imam al-Sajjad felt was on the day of Ashura, when he heard a call coming, هَلْ بِن نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنِي هَلْ مِن ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Imam al-Hussein would call out after all the companions had become shaheed, Habib was not there to protect the Imam. His own family, Ali and Al-Akbar, was gone. Abbas was gone. Imam al-Sajjad would hear this, but he couldn't do anything for the Imam. But when they asked Imam al-Sajjad which part of that journey was the worst part, he said three times, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham. There Imam al-Sajjad witnessed his aunt and the other women being stoned by the people. He saw the disrespect that the family got from Yazid. He saw his father's head in a golden tub before the feet of Yazid. He saw that when Hazrat Zainab spoke out against Yazid to quiet her down, Yazid took his stick to the lips of Imam al-Hussein. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give long life and good health to all our maraja, all those who are causing or helping the cause of Islam, and especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all the mu'mineen who have deceased our parents, and especially brother marhum Musa al-Isa, which Shaykh also mentioned his name. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, especially him, and have mercy on their souls and raise their status inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents and all those who have taught us the word in Islam of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslim ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rid the Muslim ummah of all the oppressions. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'a as-salawat.